Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, April 10th, 2014. We are live here each weekday, 12:04 to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice. We're streaming our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and you can hear the program anytime, anywhere on your schedule. Visit buckmastershow.com. We have every show we have done over the last couple of years archived at buckmastershow.com. During the noon hour, we have a very heavy schedule as usual. We'll talk with the director of a new UA center dedicated to preparing Tucson and the world for climate change. About 20 minutes past the hour, the world-renowned comet discoverer, Dr. David Levy, will have info on next week's total lunar eclipse. About 30 minutes past the hour, writer Tom Zollner talks about his new book about riding the rails of the world. And then we'll preview a couple of big events this week and the DM Air Show and the return of professional baseball to the old Pueblo. Well, the University of Arizona has created a new center focusing on and preparing for climate change. Kathy Jacobs is the director of the new Center for Climate Adaptation Science and Solutions. Kathy is a UA Soil, Water, and Environmental Science professor. She returned to Tucson recently from Washington, D.C., where she was assistant director of the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. Kathy, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. What do you hope to accomplish with this new center?
Well, I think our primary objective is trying to build from all the existing capacity at the University of Arizona, trying to integrate that capacity and then help people across the state of Arizona and more broadly across the nation and the world to adapt to climate change. We do have almost 50 faculty members who have been identified as being experts in various sectors who can really help us with this. And our objective is really to help them connect to people who need to make decisions.
I suppose one of the important things, Kathy, will be framing climate change so it is meaningful to the people of Tucson and Arizona, because perhaps they think, well, climate change, okay, it's going to get hotter, a little bit more dry, but how is that really going to affect me? And it, of course, it's going to affect them. If they're watering more, they're going to have higher water bills. If the summers are hotter, they're going to have higher electricity bills. And so you have to really bring it to the person in how it's going to affect their lives, correct?
Yes, that's absolutely true. And I think a lot of the problem with communicating about climate change has to do with how it's framed. Lots of people think, well, it's going to be a little bit warmer, I'll just turn the thermostat down, and, you know, maybe it'll be a little bit drier, well, I'll just water more. But I don't think they realize that many of the ways that we experience climate change are not in these gradual events, but more dramatic events, like what we've been seeing in other parts of the country, whether it's Superstorm Sandy or major droughts that have occurred in Texas or forest fires being much bigger than they've been in the past. So it's not only these gradual changes we need to be prepared for, but things that might happen more suddenly. So, for example, we could lose electric power because of a wildfire that affected a transmission line at the same time that it were in a heat wave. And that kind of event could easily affect people's health and or cause mortality because, you know, when there's not enough air conditioning and you've got elderly people, they may not survive. So it's really important to think about this as risk management and preparedness, not just about gradual changes.
Yeah, because so much of course, when we have some of these, and we could have record-breaking temperatures in the summer, you've got the electric grid to worry about, and we're so dependent, aren't we, on other states for that? That could be a huge issue.
Absolutely. There's a lot of integrated networks, and those networks actually, in some cases, they protect us from the kinds of local incidents that might occur. But there are other cases where we have a single point of failure, and you have a cascading set of events, and we've seen that happen in almost every major extreme occurrence, like Hurricane Sandy. Lots of different systems went down. And so we need to be prepared for those kinds of things, as well as thinking carefully about our water supply, our energy use, and so forth.
Kathy Jacobs is with us. Kathy is the director of a new center that's been created at the University of Arizona, the Center for Climate Adaptation, Science, and Solutions. You know, I think the bottom line, Kathy Jacobs, how do we make science useful? I think that's kind of at the root of what we're talking about, isn't it?
Yes, and I think that's always been a really serious challenge. That has partly to do with the fact that scientists don't always understand how the real world works, and people in the real world don't use the same language that scientists use. So part of it has to do with helping with communication between scientists and decision makers. But I think it's also about essentially packaging the science in ways that are useful and helping people really answer the questions that are most important to them. You know, I think there, many people think of scientists as eggheads, and not without reason. So it's important for people who really are good at communicating to help with decision-making and getting the right access to information at the right time.
You know, we think of climate change, and for our area of southern Arizona, we certainly have had much warmer years. We've been in a drought, a prolonged drought now. It's well over a decade long, the drought, and so things have been much drier. But it doesn't necessarily, the change, have to be warmer every year and drier every year, does it?
No, certainly not. In fact, we would expect it wouldn't. There is normal climate variability that has been going on for millennia, and that kind of variability will keep happening. The thing that's different is the variability is going around a trend now, not just a flat sort of historical pattern. And so we are starting to see changes that are outside the envelope of what we've experienced historically. But clearly we will see colder winters, just as we saw happen with the polar vortex and the changes that happened in the rest of the country this winter. We had a very warm winter, but most of the rest of the country had a dramatically colder winter. And that does not mean climate change isn't occurring. In fact, it's probably evidence that it is. And so this idea that we will always be warmer and always be drier is incorrect.
The University of Arizona really has kind of been at the forefront of this environmental issues, hasn't it?
Absolutely. We have a very strong set of scientists here at the U of A, not just related to climate, but also related to adaptation and water management and policy. There's a broad array of people in natural resources and agriculture, just an incredible list of people who can help stakeholders. And in fact, the University of Arizona has a very strong reputation for being a good communicator, for helping stakeholders actually use science. And that comes partly from the cooperative extension background, but also because of a lot of investments by federal agencies in things like the climate assessment for the Southwest, which is specifically exists to help provide access to climate information for stakeholders.
You've been involved with all sorts of water management issues before your time at the White House. Does it feel good to be back in Tucson?
Yes, I'm thrilled to be back. There's lots of friends, and Tucson's a great community. I think I'm looking forward to bringing a lot of the knowledge that I gained from working in Washington, D.C., back to Arizona, and helping people more broadly have access to information than they've had in the past.
Well, Kathy, it's good to talk with you. We probably interviewed you dozens of times over on the TV side, and it's good to talk with you on radio, and welcome back to Tucson.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. It's my pleasure.
Thanks a lot. Kathy Jacob, she is the director of a new center that has been created at the University of Arizona dealing with climate adaptation science and solutions. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, where there is some great news that I want to share with you. Smithsonian Magazine named Silver City as number 18 in its top 20 small towns worth visiting in 2014, giving a nod to the number of artist galleries and artsy shops, plus coffee shops and world-class downtown restaurants. The top 20 small towns is the Smithsonian's cover story in the April edition. Silver City in Grant County, just three and a half hours east of Tucson. You can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. Be right back.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Jerry.
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay, okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Offer ends 4/30/14. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on Cox Business Internet 150 megabits per second service versus basic 1.5 DSL. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold, and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Tucson Desert Art Museum.
Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanque Verde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Just a few seconds away now from 12:20 on this Thursday afternoon, Dr. David Levy is the Buckmaster Show contributor on science. We're honored to have him along with about two dozen regular contributors to the Buckmaster Show. David is the former science editor of Parade Magazine, now head of and founder of the Sharing the Sky Science Educational Organization. David is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, with nearly two dozen comets to his credit. He operates out of his home and observatory in Vail, Arizona, where he joins us now on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. David, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, but I'm listening to your introduction of me, and I'm thinking that I'm really a has-been now, because I might have discovered 2023 comets, but I haven't found anything since 2010, and that's a long, long time ago.
Is that the longest period without a comet since you began?
No, it's not. So the longest one is still the period before I found my first, which was 19 years.
Okay.
But I keep on thinking that it's very unlikely, Bill, that I'm going to be finding another comet. I'm still enjoying the search, but I'm beginning to find that some of it's getting a little tedious.
Oh, no.
I really don't think I'm going to find another comet again.
Oh, no. I would bet heavily against that. Who knows? Maybe tonight will be the lucky night.
Maybe. I doubt it. There's going to be a bright moon tonight. The moon continues to brighten, which I imagine is about to lead you
it is.
To the next question.
It is. And there has been, thank you very much for that fine segue. There's been a lot of interest in the upcoming series of lunar eclipses that begin next week, April 15th. These are usually described as the four blood moons, and have taken some to prophesize about upcoming disasters, David. I guess this is called, when you have a series like this, a tetrad, is that right?
Yeah, I think you could call it that. Or you could also say four darned eclipses.
What do you think about all this?
I would like to say,
first
of all, the sky has figured this out, and they told me on my special Ultra HAL program that I have on my laptop that talks to me, that if you do not have your income taxes done, you will not be able to see the eclipse, which is on the night, the morning of April the 15th. And that is a very interesting night because it connects us to the first question you asked. It is the 10th anniversary of the discovery of Comet Takamazawa-Levy, which I found on April the 15th. 1994, the 20th anniversary of that comet. Well, it's 20 years now since I found that comet.
Well, what do you think about that? I mean, this four blood moons is a highly unusual occurrence, correct?
Yeah, because we get four of them right in a row.
Yeah.
And I think they're all visible at least partially from here. But the big one is coming up on the 15th. You go outside and seriously, even if you don't have your taxes done, you can still see it. It's going to start in Tucson at a nice, reasonable time around midnight, and you want to stay up from about midnight to about 3 o'clock in the morning to watch the whole thing. It's going to be a lot of fun. There'll be a lot going on, and the thing we don't know yet is how dark the eclipse will be, depending on how much volcanic ash there is in the atmosphere. Now, we have had some volcanic eruptions in the last few months, so it could be a dark eclipse. and we're hoping that it is. And I'm certainly going to make sure that my wife sees this, because this is the first big one we've had in a long, long time.
And we'd have to wait a long, long time for it to happen again.
yeah. There is one, and another one of this tetrad, as you call it, is coming up in 6 months from now, and we'll talk about that again later. But this one is very interesting because it is at a proper time. We're in one of the best places, best spots for it. Late evening is pretty good.
David, you had your recent star night at the University of Arizona. That's always a lot of fun for people.
Yeah, but since we're on the theme of talking about failures today, we were disappointed in the turnout, probably because we had clouds that day.
Ah.
And we had some people who listened to your show who came down and appeared, and I'm really glad you gave us publicity for it last month, mm-hmm. and that we had a very interesting time there. I gave a talk at the planetarium, which was a big success. We had a beautiful sunrise at the end that we did to Wagner's Tannhauser Overture, which is one of my very favorite musical pieces. And the sun came up right at the end of that magnificent piece of music.
Perfect timing for David Levy, yeah. How about the meteor showers? We're in kind of meteor shower season, aren't we, right now?
We certainly are, and for more reasons than usual. We have the Lyrid meteors coming up on the 21st of April. They should be pretty good, and they can yield some fireballs. But then on the 23rd of May, the day after my birthday, we may have a meteor storm, Bill.
Oh.
We're not sure yet, but the Camelopardalids is a new meteor shower, never seen before. However, the comet that gives rise to them will cross the orbit of the Earth just a few days earlier, and it has a lot of large pieces of dust, which could encounter the Earth's atmosphere as a large shower of meteors on that night, around midnight or so. And that could be, it's predicted to be as bright as the biggest showers of the year, the Perseid shower, but it could be even better. If we get a rate of meteors of one a second or more, then this will qualify as a meteor storm. It's possible.
Wow.
So I recommend very strongly that we go out and look for that. I certainly will.
Which leads us to the monthly quote of the month. Well,
monthly quote of the month comes from Immanuel Kant, from his Critique of Pure Reason, published in 1781. And he says, "There are two things that fill my soul with holy reverence and ever-growing wonder. The spectacle of the starry sky that virtually annihilates us as physical beings, and the moral law, which raises us to infinite dignity as intelligent agents." So it's a double entendre there, that it's joining us and separating us all at the same time.
Hey, David, getting back...
The beautiful starry sky.
Getting back to the meteor storm, the obvious follow-up question, if it does happen to be a meteor storm, is that quite rare? When was the last time we saw something like that here in southern Arizona?
The last meteor storm, I was fortunate enough to see it with my wife, Wendy, and that was in Australia on November the 17th, 2001. And we had a period of time there where meteors were just pouring out of the sky like fish out of a barrel.
Wow.
And it was just incredible. And Wendy would go, "There's one, there's another one, there's another one." And I was seeing them, and it was just magnificent. That particular night, we saw 2,406 meteors over the course of the night.
Are you kidding? 2,400?
Yeah, and including a couple that appeared after sunrise with the sun in the sky. It was great.
Wow. And again, that date, did you say May 23rd?
May 23rd, 2014.
Okay.
We definitely recommend that you try. We'll be talking again, I think, before that.
Yeah, we're going to talk again in mid-May. And David Levy, it's always a pleasure having you on the program. And I guess are you doing the retreat? This will be the 8th year for that, right?
It'll be actually the 11th we have.
Wow.
No, you're correct. But we've had it for 11 years. This will be our 11th. We started it in the summer of 2004. And this will be our 11th retreat this year, and it's been extremely successful.
All right.
Most of the people who come year after year, and it's we don't have to publicize it. It's just a lot of fun.
Okay, David Levy, I'm a bit more optimistic than you are about finding your 24th comet. Who knows? It could be days away, David. Thanks a lot.
I hope so.
Okay. David Levy, always a pleasure.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here, aren't you?
Don Pooley.
You're...
Janos Wilder.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Bill Harlow.
Great to see you.
Doug Martin.
I thought I just saw you
out. Diana Cannon.
Thanks for coming.
David Sleuth.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Fina.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're...
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
I know that face.
Hey, it's Brian Jeffries.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party, too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
If you want the great taste of bottled water without the hassle of going to the store, call Culligan and ask us about the Culligan bottled water delivery service either to your home or to your place of business. Culligan bottled water is as pure as it gets. The basis of the treatment of the bottled water is steam distillation. Its processing and its cleanliness is a healthy alternative to other beverages. Culligan water is fresh and delicious. One sip will tell it all. And since Culligan water is delivered right to your door, residential or business, you won't have to lug heavy bottles. Whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water taste better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Right now, for a limited time, you get 30-day full money-back guarantee, trial to include. Water dispenser free for 1 month. Initial 15 gallons of water free. Thereafter, $6 per month on the dispenser and $6.95 per 5-gallon bottle with an annual service agreement. Call Culligan at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water. Pure and simple.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com. or Facebook. April is Earth Month at UA Biosphere 2, where every weekend in April experience programs that will inspire a better understanding of our world. Weekend themes include the weather, ocean, energy, and Earth Day weekend, where special hands-on activities and live animals will be featured. Also new and just opened are the exciting ocean and rainforest gallery exhibitions. Both of these fascinating immersion projects are open daily. More at b2science.org. Visit Biosphere 2 today.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business, it's not personal, it's just business.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Next up, a conversation with former Arizona Republic reporter Tom Zollner. Mr. Zollner's new book is titled Train, Writing the Roots That Created the Modern World from the Trans-Siberian to the Southwest Chief. Tom is an associate professor of English at Chapman College in Los Angeles. He's also the author of A Safeway in Arizona, What Gabriel Gifford's Shooting Tells Us About the Grand Canyon State and Life in America. And Tom joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line from Los Angeles. Tom, how are you?
Very good, Bill. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you. I'm very curious about the new book. How did this come about, Tom?
You know, who doesn't love a train, really? And when you think about the impact that this one kind of accidental invention has made on the way that we think, the way that we eat, the way that we listen to music, the way that we relate to one another, it makes a tremendous story.
And you look at any map, well, certainly a map of the Southwest, and the train was pretty much what created some of the lines on that map.
There's no question. You look at a map in particular of Arizona, and in large part, when you see the way the state is arranged, you're looking at a map of, first of all, the Southern Pacific, and second of all, the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe.
Tell me about how the project came about, and when did you start actually riding the rails for the book?
This sort of began in 2009, and I managed to travel to eight countries to do the research, and then I turned in the book in December of 2010, and then just 9 days later, something truly horrific happened, which was, of course, the mass murder at the Safeway grocery store in Tucson. And at that point, I just simply dropped everything. First, out of a sense of shock and grief and anger, and then several weeks after the shooting, a realization that the most important thing that I could do was try and explain how something like that could happen. So, Train, if you like, got delayed for quite a long time.
So, Train was pushed off to the siding, but then you hopped back on board and traveled the world. Tell us about some of the great train trips. Trans-Siberia is, of course, one of the big ones, isn't it?
Yeah, and which is certainly not for the faint of heart. I went on the highest railroad in the world in China up to Tibet, and then, as almost an accident, the second highest railroad in the world, one in Peru, a coal train that goes up the side of the Andes. But of all those, Bill, I have to say, I think my favorite train in the world remains the Southwest Chief, which goes from Chicago to Los Angeles through, of course, the great state of Arizona.
And the some of the other great trips, did you go up to do the one through the Canadian Rockies, one that I have done that is spectacular? Did you do that trip?
I did. I didn't write about it in the book. I couldn't really find a way to make it work within sort of a brief narrative. But I have rode that train, and you're right, it is magnificent.
What were some of the other countries, Tom, that you visited?
End-to-end in Great Britain, you can cover pretty much top to bottom in the English mainland just simply by riding the rails. Let's see, across India, which certainly is a colorful journey. What am I missing here? Forgive me. There were so many wonderful train trips that it's they kind of all blur together.
There's another great train trip that I've done, and I don't know if you've done it or wrote about it. Is that Copper Canyon trip through Mexico?
Yeah, so I've heard. I haven't been privileged to take it myself, but certainly talked to those who have, and they come back with rave reviews.
What's the future of rails in this country? And, you know, you're talking about Great Britain, where, of course, rail traffic, and in Europe, it's still as strong as ever. In this country, after when people started flying, trains really never recovered on the passenger side. They certainly have recovered and doing very well when it comes to freight, but on passenger side, it continues to lag.
Yes, that's true, although I believe trains will play a more robust role in a 21st century transportation picture. They are fuel efficient. They operate beautifully. They're safe, and with California High Speed Rail coming, knock on wood, by 2024, I think that this is going to be an excellent example for the rest of the nation.
You know, you mentioned the Southwest Chief, which is, of course, one of the great train rides from the Midwest to Los Angeles. What about through Tucson, the Sunset Limited?
It is a wonderful train. I take it whenever I can to my hometown of Tucson. Unfortunately, it's overnight both ways, both from California to there and vice versa. You're pretty much traveling through the middle of the night. So not only do you miss the scenery of the Mojave Desert, you also have to sleep in an Amtrak chair, which is more comfortable than an airplane, but it's still not your cozy bed at home.
It's a huge moneymaker, a huge money loser, that particular route.
That is. In fact, it wins the prize, Bill, for being the biggest money burner in the Amtrak system. So we as Tucsonans, I think, need to step up to the plate and take the train more.
How is Amtrak doing, Tom Zollner? Are they just kind of in a holding pattern, or what do you see as their future?
The numbers have never actually looked better in, the entire 40-year history of the agency, but it's still not great. Amtrak was sort of faced with an impossible job from the get-go, and so, Congress shouldn't be surprised that it remains a subsidized system. Deutsche Bahn in Germany, SNCF in France, they're subsidized to a far greater degree than Amtrak, and without any sort of political trouble. So, we as Americans should just sort of realize that this is just part of the furniture of a great society, is to be able to transport people in such a way.
Was there anything that inspired you to do this book? And one book that comes to mind, a great train book, The Great Patagonia, I think it's called, what is it, The Great Patagonia Express? Is that the
Old Patagonia
Express? There you go.
All through.
Yeah.
My inspiration was actually something that I remember almost hazily from 20 years ago. I was riding through Pennsylvania in a snowstorm, and there was this beautiful woman sitting across from me, and she was reading a book, and whatever it was she was reading was making her cry. And something, I just could not get that out of my head, and I was too awkward and shy to go up and try and talk to her, as any red-blooded male should have done. She always seemed mysterious to me, this woman I saw on a train. And certainly trains are wonderful places to fall in love. And the link in between romantic interludes and railroads has a long history in Western literature.
What's the best way to get a hold of your book titled Train?
I'm glad you asked. I will be reading from it at Antigone Bookstore on Friday the 18th. I think that's next Friday. They're on 4th Avenue, one of Tucson's best bookstores ever. Be reading from the book there. You can get it at Antigone, Barnes & Noble, of course, Amazon, wherever fine books are sold.
And the book is Train, Riding the Routes That Created the Modern World, from the Trans-Siberian to the Southwest Chief. Who is the publisher, Tom?
It's Viking Penguin.
Okay, terrific. And it was good to see you, by the way, at the book festival here in Tucson, which continues to really amaze, doesn't it?
Oh, my gosh. It's one of the best parts, this show accepted, of course, about living in Tucson, is you just get access to so much cultural content there.
Tom Zollner, thanks a lot for spending part of your lunch hour with us. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Tom Zollner. He's got that new book out called, one word really, Train. Enjoy it. We'll be right back.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top-quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 26 years as the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847. Welcome back to this jam-packed edition of the Buckmaster Show on a Thursday afternoon. We have a couple of really big events coming up this weekend in Tucson. Of course, the Davis Mountain Air Force show, the air show, the kind of every other year now doing the air show. And then we'll have the return of professional baseball to the old Pueblo. And we'll talk with Mike Fader about that in a couple of minutes. But with me in studio is Air Force Captain Susan Harrington. Captain Harrington is Public Affairs Office for Davis Mountain Air Force Base. Captain, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing real well. And boy, talk about a lot of preparation for the show. Give me kind of an overview. Give our listeners an overview of what's going to happen this weekend.
Sure. So we are hosting the Davis Mountain Thunder and Lightning over Arizona Open House, which we're really excited about. It's April 12th and 13th. So this Saturday and Sunday, our gates are going to be open to the public at 9 a.m. and it's free for everyone. So free admission, free parking to come see some great aerial demonstrations.
Logistic-wise, parking, and what should people bring with them? Give us sort of an overview on that.
Sure. So we'd really like people to make sure you bring a clear plastic water bottle. It is going to be warm this weekend. We will have lots of water buffaloes so you can fill up that water bottle. We do ask that you don't bring food, you don't bring backpacks, coolers. There will be a lot of vendors out there, a lot of food prepared that people can purchase. So those are kind of the two big things we want to keep away from, but there will be a lot there provided for you. Parking will be free, yep.
Okay. And will there be a lot of walking involved?
Well, that was a big thing a couple years ago. There was a long walk from the parking lot, which this year we've kind of amended that and the parking's a lot closer. So it still is a good walk, but not near as long as it was 2 years ago.
And what will people see this weekend, Susan?
Well, our highlight is the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds. So they're going to be coming out. That's the F-16. So we'll highlight really what the Air Force does and the capability of the aircraft. We also have the United States Air Force Academy Wings of Blue. So they're going to be jumping into the air show, so we'll get to see that. And then we also have our Desert Lightning Team demo, and that'll include our A-10, our HH-60, our C-130s, and our pararescuemen. So that's a really unique demo that really highlights all that we do on Davis Mountain.
Will there be any civilian pilots involved as well?
There are a number of civilian demonstrations. We're going to have the Red Bull helicopter, Will Allen, Kent Pierce. So those are just an example of a couple of the ones that we're
folks that are really, these are some of the big names, I guess.
Yes.
there's a whole circuit. I mean, air shows are big in the United States. And I know that in your previous duty station in Charleston, South Carolina, you put on a show over there too, didn't
we
you?
We sure did. Yeah. Yep. Had the Thunderbirds come out there too.
So what time will the Thunderbirds be performing so people will be able to see them really in many places around the valley? You can see them. They're going to be very visible in the sky.
Yes, they will. So, and actually a lot of them are going to be visible. So all of our flying acts start at 11 a.m. The Thunderbirds themselves are actually going to fly at 2 p.m.
How about pets? Are they welcome or should we keep the pets at home?
Unless it's a service dog, we ask that you keep your pets at home.
All right. And then the time you would suggest people get there early?
I would. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Just because we expect a big number, you know, upward of 200, 250,000. So get there early, come in, get a couple drinks, just sit down, relax, and then enjoy the show.
Will there be some places for people to look at some of the historic planes? Will there be some exhibitions out there?
There will be. We're going to have 45 static displays.
Wow.
Yes. So a good number, and that's both active duty current aircraft that we're flying now and then some warbirds from back in the day. So really unique aircraft that are going to be there that people will be able to get to learn a little bit about.
How do the airmen and women view this? Is this kind of a opportunity to showcase what they do?
Yes, absolutely. So we love doing open houses. It is a lot of work, like you mentioned before, but it's really our opportunity to show Southern Arizona what we do here on Davis Mountain. I think a lot of times we get lost in the picture of everything going on, so this is our opportunity really to not only show them, hey, this is kind of what DM does, but also what the Air Force does. And it also is our opportunity to thank the community for all the support they constantly give us.
Well, and I also think it's a great opportunity for the community to thank you and your colleagues at Davis Mountain Air Force Base, because right now it's so important that community, the Tucson show, the rest of the country, how important Davis Mountain is, not only to, well, the community and the economy, and on it goes. I mean, it's a huge employer here, as you know, Susan, and right now it's really important to get the word out that we really do appreciate what's going on over there.
Yes. Well, thank you. We really appreciate that as well.
All right. So it's this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Get there early. The gates open 9 o'clock?
9 o'clock, yes.
Okay. And here's a big one. It's free.
It's free. It absolutely is free. And if you want more info, you can go to our website, which is www.thunderandlightningoverarizona.com.
Is there a rivalry between the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds?
You know, yeah, that's a good question.
I don't know. I mean, who knows? But there probably is. Captain Susan Harrington, the Public Affairs Officer for Davis Mountain Air Force Base, telling us about this weekend's big air show. Thank you, Susan, for coming up.
Thanks for having me.
Next up, we will talk with Mike Fader about a big event coming up, return of professional baseball to the Old Pueblo. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line, Mr. Mike Fader. Mike, of course, is the longtime AAA general manager of what was the Tucson Padre organization, now the El Paso Chihuahuas. Try saying that real fast, Mike, huh? And they are bringing professional baseball returns to Keno this weekend. Mike, how are you?
Good. How are you? And I loved your interview, your last interview. I'm actually an honorary commander at Davis Mountain, and they do a tremendous job out there. And we do need to speak up and fight for this base. You know, we don't need to be losing the Air Force Base.
$1 billion
of economic impact. So no, that's not why I'm on. No, we're excited. You know, I virtually, it's at the point that four games is better than no games, and so we're going to make these four games this weekend between El Paso and Reno. It's the Diamondbacks and Padres AAA club. And we're going to have a lot of fun. I mean, we're going to do a lot of things and a lot of activities, and the weather is going to be gorgeous. And they're going to see really good players come into the game.
Hey, and by the way, congratulations on your appointment to the Arizona Diamondback organization.
Well, the Diamondbacks, I mean, I've always felt, you know, that there's a lot that could be done in Southern Arizona, and the Diamondbacks obviously concur with that. So over the next 2-3 months, we're going to get a lot of stuff, a lot of information out to Diamondback fans and Southern Arizona fans so they know what's going on.
Hey, tell us about some of the promotions that are planned for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, four games.
Great, thanks, Bill. Friday is simple. We call it Frosty Friday. It's $2 beer and $2 soft drinks from 6 to 9, and the game starts at 7:05. Also that night, for the baseball fans, Archie Bradley is pitching for the Reno Club, for the Diamondbacks. Archie Bradley is probably the top pitching prospect in all of minor league baseball, and people will see him soon in the Arizona Diamondbacks rotation. Saturday, we've got over 3,000 major league giveaway items, Lucha Libre masks from the Diamondbacks, and growth charts for the kids, and schedule magnets, and sports bags from the Padres, so that'll be on Saturday. Sunday is a day game at 1:05. Any kids on any sports league, baseball, football, soccer, little league, baseball, softball, they just wear their jersey, they come in as our guests. Also, it's Bark in the Park, so the dogs are going to be admitted to be in the ballpark that day, and all military appreciation, all they got to do is show their military ID, and we'll give them two complimentary box seats. And then Monday, it winds up with Ichi's night. We have free tickets at all local Ichi's locations. And that's a 6:35 start.
So all of this was brought on because El Paso's the stadium wasn't ready. Is that correct?
That is correct. They're building a beautiful downtown stadium. And it was too quick of a path. And, you know, a good example is, like, they're here for 4 days, but then they're on the road for 13 days. So from a construction standpoint, had they tried to play these four, they would have lost virtually. I mean, if they move it to April 28th, they have 17 additional construction days, and that's enormous. And they want their stadium to be first class when they open it. I'll be there April 28th. And it's a shame that we don't have it here, but they did it right. I mean, they got a downtown stadium. It's the first time AAA baseball has been there, and it will be the biggest thing in that community.
Yeah, that's for sure. Mike Fader, thanks a lot. What about ticket information?
You can go to TucsonPadres.com. You can stop by Keno Stadium. And with general admission for as low as $5 for students and senior citizens, adults $7. And people could pretty much get them at the gate when they come. Or they can call 434-1367 and order them on by the phone and not pay any online service charge.
Okay, Mike Fader, thank you so much for telling us about the big weekend out at Keno. Should be a lot of fun. Thanks, Mike.
Great, Bill. Thanks for the opportunity, as always.
All right, that's Mike Fader, the former general manager of the Tucson Padres. Now he is with the Arizona Diamondbacks organization here in southern Arizona. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Thank you, Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Everybody that comes into the Buckmaster Show gets a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. Everyone likes it. They always say, what great water. And we thank Culligan for their support. Tomorrow morning, 6 to 8 in the morning, our other local talk show here on KVOI, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. And then there is The Daily Double with Christy Simone from 8 to 9. It's all part of the KVOI family of fine broadcasting. On behalf of ace producer Rosemary Brandt, Rose and I wish you a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.